attracted all that love precisely because, as God, He is the all-attractive person,
the supreme object of our love.
This is a very extraordinary phenomena the Vrijabhasis are experiencing. In this chapter, we hear a summary of Krishna's wonderful leelas, especially how, you know, from the time of his infancy in delivering putana, until his seventh year in lifting Govardhan Hill, he has performed such wonderful pastimes. Therefore, this chapter is wonderful Krishna. But the most wonderful phenomena they're expressing in this verse, how is it that we and all the other Vrijabhasis are so spontaneously attracted to Krishna? And you have some context for that sentiment in chapters like the Ramavimohan Lila, when everyone was experiencing more attachment to Krishna, more attraction and love for Krishna than they were for their own children. As were the cows experiencing more affection for the elderly calves who were already weaned, and for their newborn calves who were still dependent on them for their milk. And this is an unnatural phenomenon for this world, but it's a natural condition and environment of Raja. But that's only half of the formula. The other half, which really led the coward men to ponder, is how is it that Krishna is so attached and attracted to us? We're not his parents. And then seeing all the wonderful lilas, which at this time culminates in the lifting of Govardhan, they expressed in the following verses that a doubt has arisen in our mind, which we come to you now to dispel. And it was this ongoing doubt that maybe Krishna's not ordinary. Perhaps he's some exalted demigod who has come to live amongst us simple cowards for some inconceivable reason. And then at other times, as in defeating the mountain of pride which had arisen in Indra's heart, they were beginning to ponder that maybe he is some exceptional form of God. And Nanda Maharaj replied, just hear my words and let all your doubts be gone. Garga Muni addressed us so long ago when he said that your son appears as an incarnation in every age. And he has different colors according to the conditions of that age, white, red, and golden. And now he's appeared in a blackish form. And Garga Muni also said that your child will perform many wonderful activities because of the power of Godhead which is invested within him. So their conception was not especially theistic, because it is beyond theology. It is the stage of spontaneous attraction. Lord Krishna just taught the Vrijabhasis the importance of worshipping Govardhan Hill and the significance of those teachings have continued. continued to amplify over the ages with Krishna coming back as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, preceded by Madhavendra Puri, who met Gopala on the slopes of Govardhan, and then our acharyas, and Srila Prabhupada's own example. It was one of the first, maybe the first letter he wrote, giving instructions for New Vrindavan, saying that the high places, name them Govardhan. And if there's any lakes, name them Radhakund and Shamakund, which are on Govardhan. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, feeling deep separation from Krishna as he resided in Jagannath Puri, was going to bathe in the sea one day, and he noticed that Tata Parvat, sand dune, where Tota Gopinath was the presiding deity in Gadadhar Pandit, his pujari. He didn't see a sand dune, he saw Govardhan. And he ran at the speed of the wind. And as he was running, the mood of Srimati Radharani towards Govardhan arose in his heart, and her words appeared from his lips. And it's a very significant verse to, in synopsis form, express the nature and glories of Govardhan. Of all the devotees, Govardhan Hill is the best. Oh my friends, this hill provides Krishna and Balaram, along with all their cows, calves, and cowherd friends, with all their necessities. Water for drinking, very soft grass, caves, fruits, flowers, and vegetables. In this way, by these gifts, Govardhan Hill offers his respects to the Lord, being touched by the lotus feet of Sri Krishna and Balaram. Govardhan Hill appears at each event. Govinda ran after the Lord, but he couldn't catch him. He was running too fast, and all the devotees followed. And a loud roar surged from their collective voices as they tried to catch the Lord. And then when he became stunned by the astasatagabhavas all rising simultaneously, and he faded to the color of a white conch shell and fell in the sand, and the devotees reached him, and they chanted Hare Krishna in his ear for some time, and then he jumped up, and he looked all around in every direction as if he was trying to catch a glimpse of something, but he couldn't find it. And very sorrowful, with tears flowing from his eyes, he pleaded with the devotees, why did you bring me here? Today, I went to Govardhan to find Krishna. And he was herding the cows as he played his flute in the sunny meadow, which attracted all the gopis, who were so beautifully dressed. And when Krishna entered a cave with Srimati Radharani, the gopis engaged me in picking flowers for their service. But then you all made that tumultuous roar and brought me back here. How could you do such a thing? How could you cause me such unnecessary pain? I was entering into Krishna's lila. And now I can no longer see it. And he just fell down in the sand, crying piteously. But then Brahmananda Bharati, Brahmananda Puri, who were also following, but they were way behind because they were elderly, they arrived on the scene because they're godbrothers of Mahaprabhu's guru. He came back to full external consciousness and offered them respects. And why have you come? to see your dancing. And then the Lord bathed in the sea and returned home. So this the context of this verse is very helpful in understanding the glorious service of Govardhan. Years ago, in the pastoral landscape of Braj, the Hare Krishna mantra, which is known different from Radha and Krishna, and which reveals their dham and their leelas to the hearts of sincere sadhakas, that vibration eternally resounds throughout the regions of Braj. And to the extent and degree that we surrender to the will of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, the Lord awards us His eternal shelter and service. And when we accept our constitutional position as the Lord's eternal servitor, and place ourselves at His disposal, then the spiritual energy called Hare reveals her Lord, who is known as Krishna, and infuses the devotees' hearts with spiritual bliss, which is called Nama. And therefore, we chant Hare Krishna mantra, as do the Vrijavasis, and in their separation from Krishna, He reveals Himself to them in the sound of His holy names. So in separation, in a mood of separation, the devotees relish most deeply the form of their beloved, who expands in the hearts of His devotees to the extent they take shelter of the holy name. And thus they realize His pastimes in their consciousness. So when Krishna entered Vrindavan forest and took the cows to Govardhan in the autumn season, the gopis and Jalas were making all kinds of excuses to go to Him, thinking, you know, our parents and our relatives, they can go bathe in Manasaganga and have Krishna's association. So why should we remain prisoners to them in our own houses? But they knew very well they couldn't go. So, seeking an ally for their aspiration to meet with Krishna, Srimati Radharani asked a question. The desire for Krishna's association will remain fruitless without the mercy and blessings of great souls. So amongst all those who bear the title Haridas, such as Maharaj Yudhisthira and King Janak and Uddhava, who is the greatest of all those who are Haridas? Who alone is worthy for the epithet Varya at the end of Haridas Varya? In other words, who is the greatest of all the devotees of the Lord? Everybody knew, but they waited for Srimati to give her own answers. We have heard from the Venerable Garga Muni that it is Giriraj who saved us from the wrath of Indra and is the source of Vrindavan's good fortune, who is the best of the devotees. And then motioning in a gesture towards Govardhan through the open window, Although he is far away, out of sight, she uttered that verse of all the devotees, Govardhan Hill is the best. This Govardhan Hill provides Krishna and Balaram along with all their cows and cowherd friends with all their necessities. Water for drinking, raised off grass, caves, fruits and flowers and vegetables. In this way Govardhan Hill offers his respects to the Lord. Being blessed by the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, Govardhan Hill appears very jubilant. And as I gazed out the window, Govardhan came for their darshan, and in so doing awarded them his darshan. And that really spurred the discussion to delve deeper into the details of the glories of Govardhan and expand upon the verse which was just spoken. The discussion of Krishna's glories and pastimes is only equaled or excelled by absorption in the glories of the devotees of Krishna. So they discussed, how is it amongst those many great souls who bear the title Haridas, why is the epithet Haridas Varya reserved for Govardhan alone? How is it that he is so unique amongst devotees? He's both the Lord and devotee, a position shared only by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as the best servant. So it was Chitradevi who was most inclined towards, how do you officially say, earthling services? Animal husbandry, botany, silviculture, such things. Very familiar with the glories of Govardhan, who is the very emblem of self-reliance, and as his name implies, Vardhana means to protect, go all the cows. And she explained the different parts of the verse. Water for drinking. Well, that water which Govardhan Hill provides for the devotees awards much more than physical sustenance, because they analyzed Srimati Radharani's verse in terms of the Astasaptika Bhavas, which was exactly what Mahaprabhu was experiencing as he uttered the verse again. So the water we find in Govardhan is actually the tears which flow from his heart. And since his heart is infused with a depth of love comparable only to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, when the cows drink that water, they go into ecstasy. And when the gopis drink that water, they just roll on the ground in ecstatic love for Krishna in a flavor beyond which they normally experience. And the grass, that's his hair standing on end. Grass which is so flavorful, so nutritious, that the cows become so healthy and productive that they water the meadows of Govardhan with their own milk, which in the sunshine makes grass so fragrant that not only all the cows of Braj come there to graze, but even the horses from the heavenly planets. And Suryadev, in his orbiting of the earth, they always come down. The horses graze on the peaks of Govardhan and are just enlivened to continue in their orbit. Ramancha means his hair standing on end. And those tears of love from his eyes cascade in waterfalls and form myriad bodies of water, which are actually bodies of prema. And the unlimited facilities and ecstasies manifest in and through Raja, like Overnam, attract Krishna there every day to display the most wondrous of all his lilas, because you know, the birth of Govardhan was the response to that request of Srimati Radharani in the Rasa Lila. My dear Krishna, if you are pleased with my love and my friend's love, our love for each other and our love for you, then kindly manifest place of pleasure pastimes excelling any place in Braj, comparable only to itself. Krishna at first didn't know how to answer that request. So looking deep within the depths of his own heart, finding the essence of pleasure for himself, which he longs to share with all living entities, that seed of spiritual joy emerged from his heart and descended into the midst of the Rasa Mandala as an effulgent ball of fire and water, which solidified into a stone, grew into a hill, and expanded into a mountain. And Srimati took her friends and Krishna and spent the whole rest of the day exploring all the wonderful places and pastimes on that mountain. We should understand that Govardhan's ecstasies is not for his own pleasure, and it's not limited to Krishna's pleasure, because the other feature of love for Krishna is compassion for all living entities. And therefore Govardhan inspires great souls and poets from within their hearts to proclaim and broadcast the wonder, charm, and sweetness of Braj Lila to all the parched souls of the world who are dying in the desert of material life in a death-like comatose state, which can only be revived by the nectar of Krishna Katha. And thus we find that the greatest poets, such as Kaviraj Goswami, resided in the banks of Radhakund, which is on the slopes of Govardhan, where he compiled Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita based on the narrations he heard from Raghunath Das Goswami, who also resided there. And thus Govardhan invites pilgrims from all over the world to come and place their heads on the impression of Krishna's lotus feet, which are enshrined in the stones, because the stones of Govardhan are not like this world. They're not hard. They're soft, and they melt upon the touch of Krishna's feet and are darkish, whereas other footsteps and pathways are crystal in color or golden, where Sri Baladev and Srimati Radharani tread. So, water for drinking, very soft, or caves, because it's not socially accepted that the gopis can meet with Krishna, and therefore the caves provide unlimited subterranean paradises, illumined by jewels, and with very soft beds that when the cowherd boys lie down on the beds of Govardhan, they're like, it's a crude analogy, but like Tempur-Pedic mattresses, you know, they're stone, but they conform very softly to the forms of the cowherd boys, and they fall asleep and they just dream about playing with Krishna, and when they wake up they're so refreshed that the games they play with Gopal on the slopes of Govardhan, they're jumping in the crones like frogs, and just endless pastimes are refreshed and nourished by the caves of Govardhan. So, fruits, flowers, and vegetables. In other words, Govardhan is like a touchstone which fulfills all the devotees' desires and needs. As they were discussing his glories, Govardhan returned to his own residence, beginning with Radhakund and ending at Punjabi. And as the gopis sank into sorrow, Ratramanjari continued the narration to keep the atmosphere happy, and blessing, taking blessings of the other devotees and their permission, continued her narration in a happy mood, chanting Govardhan's glories. So, she led the other devotees on a verbal parikrama, beginning with Manasaganga, where parikrama starts, with the blessings of Haridev, the untiring holder of Govardhan Hill. Manasaganga, where an old, worn-out boat rests on the sandy shore, is the glorious vessel which Krishna used to gain the favor of an angry Radha. And she explained the appearance of Manasaganga when Nanda Maharaj was hearing from a senior Brahmana the story from the Puranas, how when Garuda was flying across the Ganga with a snake in his claws, and the very tip of the tail of that snake happened to touch the water of the Ganga, and that snake turned into a four-armed Vaikuntha associate of the Lord, who climbed on the back of Garuda, who took him back to the spiritual world. So when Nanda Maharaj heard that, he told the Brijavasis, we should go on pilgrimage to Ganga. But Krishna didn't want to go to Ganga. He could, and he told his parents that all the holy places reside eternally here in Braj. What's the need of pilgrimage to Bengal? But they didn't listen to him because he's just a little boy. He said, well, come with me. And he enchanted Nanda and the gopas with his sweet words and charming glances and just drew them to Manasaganga, where they saw that Ganga Devi is sitting there on a crocodile smiling favorably upon all of them. And they worshipped her with ghee lamps floating in her waters on the dark moon night last night. So, and then nearby, Manasaganga, is the deity of Haridev, who appeared when the gopis were looking for Krishna and feeling deep separation. Chanting with such feeling that a seven-year-old boy appeared to them, dark in complexion, playing flute in one hand and holding mountain in the other. And he was installed there. So, as the Vrijavasis immersed themselves in topics of Govardhan's glories and lilas, time stood still, as it often does. It could be because the creator of the universe, Brahma, is so drawn into the pastimes that a night of earthly calculation turns into a night of Brahma, as it did in Sharad Purnim, Rasalila, or the night when Lord Garuda danced in the drama at Chandrasekhar's house. A night of earthly calculation expanded into billions and millions of years just to fulfill the devotee's desires. And then Aniyor, where after the Brijabasis prepared everything they had, all the kuns were filled with sweet rice and nectar and mountains of rice with rivers of ghee and pots of soup, and Krishna appeared as Govardhan Hill, another mountain on Govardhan, and with hundreds of arms reaching out for miles, just took everything and consumed it all. He still wasn't satisfied, chanting, Aniyor, Aniyor, give me more, and nobody knew how can he be satisfied until somebody remembered they didn't offer a tulsi leaf. And when they did, he became completely pacified. And then Govinda comes. Because after the devastation, when Braj was assaulted by the Samvartika clouds, who have no function other than the apocalypse, they're only designed and they just sleep in some corner of the Mahatattva and come out only when it's time to destroy the universe. So rather than destroy the universe, Indra said, just one little job, just that cowherd village, destroy it. And assisted by Indra's thunderbolts, led by him in battle, with cyclones and tornadoes, was gone. But Indra, he felt very uneasy in his heart, so he sent his spies, go back and make sure everything's gone. And they came back and said, they're finished. So go look closer, just make sure that nobody's living. And they went back and they returned. It's total devastation. Just look one more time. And they look closer. And they came back and they told Indra, actually, while the whole rest of the universe is being destroyed, the Brijavasis are having a party. They're having a festival. They're just singing and dancing and not even aware that it's raining. And then when Indra saw over the skyline surrounding his celestial gardens the peaks of Govardhan rising up above heaven, he knew that he was in trouble. And he was so ashamed at his atrocities, he couldn't speak with his wife, he couldn't approach his minister, he couldn't seek guidance from his guru, who told him, you can't even go to Krishna now. So he went to Brahma. What to do? And Brahma told him, you need somebody to intercede on your behalf. Cow. So Indra, only when he placed his brilliant crowns at the feet of the cow. And she was totally embarrassed, what's he doing? But then she interceded at Govindakund, the kund which is filled with the nectar of forgiveness. Because Krishna was roaming around, checking out the damage, and he met Surabhi. And she said, Gopal, there's somebody hiding behind me. He really wants to approach you, but he's so ashamed. But he's actually a nice devotee, this Indra. Please be merciful on him. And because Surabhi asked, Krishna forgave Indra. And then the wonderful thing is that Gopal was actually coronated with the name Govinda by Indra in the Abhishek that followed here at Govindagram. Because what was like 7 hours of ecstasy for the devotees was like 7 millenniums of agony for Indra. But after Surabhi intervened, interceded on his behalf, and Gopal told him, first he asked him, "Is your anger now gone? You're very dear to me, so you shouldn't be angry with me." And the protection to the Brijavasis, of which Govardhan is the emblem, was not equal to the protection offered to Indra, or the protection offered to any of us when the mountain of pride, or lust, or anger, or greed, or attachment, or aversion rises within our hearts and distances us from Krishna, the shelter of Govardhan, and save us from our own lower nature. So, it was Indra who gave Krishna the name Govinda, one who gives, he said, "Krishna, you have formerly been glorified as Abhiram, but now you should be glorified as Govinda, one who gives pleasure to the mind and the senses and the land and the cows." And they had an Abhishek, Surabhi with their milk, Aravati with his Ganga water. And after all the demigods worship Krishna, he didn't actually like it. He just wanted to get back with his cowherd friends, but he was dutifully obligated to stand there and be worshipped by them. But always just like, "I just want to go play with the gopas." So finally, when it was all over, he called the gopas and they came. And there's all this celestial arti paraphernalia. So they started waving chamaras, just playfully, the gopas. And the demigods looked back. These playful gopas are giving Krishna more pleasure than we can with all our opulences. And then when Nanda Jashoda came, "Where did you get all these paraphernalia?" He said, "You should have seen. There were people here with 4 heads, 5 heads, and this one person with 1,000 eyes crying. And there was a talking cow. And they just left all this paraphernalia." And then a voice from the sky resounded, "I have coronated Gopal as Govinda, but you Brijavasis should coronate." Which means the king. I mean, Govinda has many meanings. It also means, because Surabhi also said to Gopal that, "You know, I have this Indra, he's like my authority, but I really wish that you would be my Govinda, the Lord of the cows." So then the voice resounded, "We have coronated him Govinda. You, Brijavasis, should coronate him Lord of Vrindavan." And then that's Govindakund, Apsaragund, where Krishna revealed his form as Vishnu with 12 arms, riding on the back of Subal, that was Garuda for the Leela. And where he appeared as Ram, and the gopas became monkeys and bears and threw stones in the kund to cross over to rescue Sita. And as Rati Manjari, also called Tosi Manjari, immersed all the devotees in topics, the birth, seva, and glories of Govardhan, they became hopeful that they could have the association of Krishna. Because that is the potency contained in the blessings of great souls. And they are pleased with us due to our humility, sincerity, and devotion, and they give their blessings, Krishna fulfills them. And as they worshipped him with the conviction that his grace would surely award them the unfailing shelter and association of Krishna, Govardhan, from outside the window in Jalat, worshipped the gopis as the deities who were the very source of his good fortune. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us, and the acharyas have followed in his footsteps, his two most precious possessions, the Govardhan Shila and Gunjamala, which were held to his heart and bathed with his tears, he gave to Raghunath Das Goswami, who understood the message. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given me shelter at the lotus feet of Govardhan. And when he would wear the Gunjamala, he would be filled with emotion, with the realization that Mahaprabhu has given me shelter at the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. So, and for sadhakas, we're very grateful and blessed by the lesson of how Krishna protects his devotees with a personal concern. And is arranging everything in their lives to facilitate them in cultivating the essence of spiritual life, which is expressed in Trinadapi Sunitina Tararapi Sihishtana Namanida Manadina Kirtaniya Siddharadi. So it was on the request of the demigods that Govardhan actually had to appear, because when they approached Krishna and asked him to descend into this world, and he agreed, Srimati Radharani said, how can I live without you? He said, but you'll come. But how can I live in a place where there's no shade of Govardhan, flow of Jamuna, and forest of Vrindavan? Krishna said, I already sent them down there just so that you would feel at home. And she looked down, and they saw that everything was awaiting here on earth for their appearance. So, and Srila Prabhupada, even in his very last days, because we'll be celebrating his disappearance pastime on Saturday, and when the devotees were so morose, seeing that he was concluding his lila in this world, and they were devastated, everything was dark and dreary, he had no idea how he could go on. And there were episodes of sorrow interspersed with joyful episodes, as when he declared that we should go up Parikramal of Govardhan Hill. Now he wanted to go up Parikramal of Vrindavan, but somebody suggested, well, it's almost Govardhan Puja. And then Srila Prabhupada said, yes, we should go up Parikramal of Govardhan. And Lokanath Swami is a good cook. We will have a picnic on Govardhan. That was amongst Srila Prabhupada's last desires, which threw the devotees into complete turmoil. Because some were arguing he wouldn't survive the trip, and others were saying it's the desire of Lord Krishna's ambassador on earth. And then when Krishnadas Babaji came and to visit Srila Prabhupada and seeing these loving exchanges, and then Tamal Krishna Maharaj came and said, Srila Prabhupada, everything you do just increases our attachment for you. He said, yes, that is my duty. So, thank you very much. Shri Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Shri Govardhan Puja Ki Jai.
Shri Prabhupada.